The Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, in our text for this evening, is the verse 49. Verse 49, "And he said unto them," that is the Lord, "said unto Joseph and Mary, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The musts of the Master. Our text this evening that we have just read there in verse 49 of Luke 2 contains the first and only recorded words of the Lord Jesus up until this point in time. No doubt that during those first 12 years of the Christ as a young man, yea, as he's described as the child Jesus, no doubt he uttered many wonderful truths, but the Holy Spirit has not recorded any of them. So when we come to this verse 49, in Luke chapter 2, we have the first recorded words of Christ. We would never read of another word from his lips until he was about 30 years of age. As we read in verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. We know that every word the Savior ever uttered must be regarded with the utmost importance. But here we have one sentence, that's all. One sentence uttered by the Savior in all of those 30 years, recorded by the Holy Ghost. And surely, his words must be, that sentence must be regarded as being of the utmost importance and significance. And indeed, the significance of those words may be looked upon as an announcement of the whole public life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. For here is a 12-year-old boy. He is already talking about being about his Father's business. Think of that. He's 12 years of age, and he's already speaking about being about his Father's business. And the dear Savior, of course, we know, was always about his Father's business until the day when his disciples beheld as he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight, until he went again to heaven. He was always about his Father's business. That then was the rule of his life, being about his Father's business. So here we have another one of the musts of the Master. When he said to Mary, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" So we want to look at that utterance of the Lord, that one sentence as a 12-year-old that's recorded for us here in Holy Scripture. We want to look at those words tonight. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" First thing we notice here is the complaint about the Master. Joseph and Mary and their 12-year-old son We're preparing to return home. That is, preparing to return to Nazareth. They had been in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And we see that they were faithful in all their attendance to the services in the temple, and in particular to the Passover. They were certainly most diligent in their attendance, and they adhered to all that was required. Look at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year, not just now and again. They went every year. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom, the habit of the feast. Verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. When they had fulfilled the days, they didn't cut anything short. They fulfilled the days that were required for the Jewish people to be there in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And certainly when you think of Joseph and Mary, they were setting a good example to their young son, who now, Luke 2, had come to the years of 12 years of age. And at 12, he was able to go with them to Jerusalem. But now it was time for them to return home. But unknown to them, we read in verse 43, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. From that moment, it took them 4 days before they found him. They had gone a day's journey and discovered he was not in their company, and it took them 3 days upon returning and also searching for him. In total, he was absent from them for 4 days. And when they did find him, behold, he was still in the temple. Verse 46. It was then that Mary brought her complaint to her son. For in verse 48, we read, she said, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us thus? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." It was then that the Lord replied to Mary and her complaint and said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" There we see in those words of the Savior, first of all, his surprise. It was a surprise to him when he said, "Wist ye not? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" There, he had been with them in their home in Nazareth for 12 years. And he was surprised that they knew so little about him and about the business that he was involved in. He was surprised. "Wist ye not? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" They had been with him and seen him grow up before their very eyes when he was in the home there in Nazareth with them. And we're told in verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And they saw all of that. And yet, they didn't know anything about the business that the Lord Jesus had come into the world to carry out. As far as his purpose in life his work, his business, they knew nothing. And the Christ child was surprised. Would we be like Joseph and Mary? That is, we know certain facts about Christ. We know the facts. We know that he was virgin born. We know he lived a sinless life. We know about his death on the cross. We know about his bodily resurrection. They're all the facts. But can we say we know Christ intimately? Going, as it were, beyond the facts and gaining a deep knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Evidently, Mary and Joseph did not have that knowledge. For he said, "Wist ye not? I've been with you for 12 years and still you don't know that I must be about my Father's business." We can ask ourselves, how long have we known Christ and over the years got to know the facts about Christ? And we've already outlined, but do we know him intimately? Do we have we a knowledge that goes beyond the facts, as it were? The Savior demonstrated the same sense of surprise with one of his disciples. You turn, please, to John 14. In John 14, we read in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" There you have, as it were, the Savior's sense of surprise. Philip had been with Christ day in and day out for a number of years. The public ministry of the Lord Jesus lasted approximately 3 years, just over 3 years. And in that period of time, the Lord said, "Philip, do you still not know me?" No doubt Philip knew all the facts, but he didn't have an intimate knowledge of his Savior. And here we have the Lord's gentle rebuking of Philip. "Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me?" Do you not know me, Philip? Do you not know me intimately? Do you not have a deep knowledge of me? That same surprise was expressed by the Lord when Mary, his mother, said to him, "Do you not know your father and I have been searching for you, sorrowing?" And Christ said, "Wist ye not, do you not know, that I must be about my Father's business?" We see, first of all, the surprise. Then we notice the slowness. That is the slowness of Joseph and Mary. Obviously, even though the Son of God abode with them in their home there in Nazareth, Joseph and Mary were slow to learn about the Lord's purpose and the business that he had come to carry out. There was a slowness there. They had been given some instruction regarding him, but failed to gain any further knowledge of him. Look at chapter 1 and verse 35. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so there, she was told about the child that she would have. He'll be called the Son of God. So when Mary challenged Christ there in the temple as a 12-year-old, he responded with the words, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" From what Mary had been told about him before he was born, or as a child, an infant, it would appear that she hadn't gained any more knowledge. Wist ye not? Those words may read, knew ye not? In other words, he was referring to the past. He was referring to those 12 years when he lived and dwelt with them in the home in Nazareth. Knew ye not? Did ye not know them? During those 12 years, that I must be about my Father's business. These words are an indication that Joseph and Mary were slow in their learning about Christ. Reminds us the words of Paul in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5. There in Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, they had not made any progress as far as their knowledge of the Word and their knowledge of Christ was concerned. Paul said, you need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, you need to be taught the ABC of the gospel. You need to go back, for you haven't made any progress, or very little progress. So there was Joseph and Mary. And like the Hebrews, they had been slow to learn. They had been slow in their learning. And we can say to ourselves tonight, well, what progress have we made in the years that we have come to know Christ? What progress have we made in our learning? People can be saved for many years and yet not be able to recite the books of the Bible. If we were to call out, we're reading from Habakkuk, how many would be able to find it? What progress have we made over the years of our salvation? Isn't that what Paul said to the Hebrew believer? You need to go back and be taught again. You should be in a position where you are teachers. But instead, you're still in kindergarten as far as the things of God are concerned. So we considered the surprise and the slowness. We see also the sureness in the words spoken by the Lord. If there was a lack of knowledge on the part of Joseph and Mary, there certainly was no such lack with Christ. And remember, he's only 12 years of age. Again, remembering, as I said, that he's just 12 years of age, yet as a lad of 12 years, he knew what his father's will was for his life. Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In other words, the 12-year-old Christ was sure what the father wanted him to do. Mary had spoken about his earthly father. Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. But Christ lifted it up onto another plane, because Christ then spoke about his heavenly Father. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Capital F. So as a 12-year-old, he already knew what his father wanted him to do. How many go through childhood, go through their teenage years, go through adulthood, and they never know, they never find out, they never seek the Lord to find out what the will of the Lord is for their life. They never come to the place where Saul of Tarsus came to when he cried out on the road to Damascus, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Well, the child Jesus knew what he was to do. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? As well as the complaint about Christ, we also see here the commission for Christ. We see from the Savior's words that he had come into the world to do his Father's business. And we see as a 12-year-old, he learned obedience. Mark that. He had learned obedience as a 12-year-old. He learned obedience to his heavenly Father because he said, I must be about my Father's business. As if he's saying, I cannot do anything else. My Father has given me a work to do. My Father has given me business to carry out, and I must be about my Father's business. I want you to notice, first of all, where he started. When he said, I must be about my Father's business, we notice where he started that business. We see from the Savior's words where he began to carry out his Father's business. When the Lord said, when the child Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, those words may also be rendered, I must be in my Father's house. So there's the dear Savior talking about the Father's business. And in talking about the Father's business, he's saying, I must be in my Father's house. That would be in keeping with the Lord remaining in the temple for those 4 days. I must be in my Father's house. He had remained there when Joseph and Mary made their way back to Nazareth. It was 4 days before they found him. But he was still in the temple. In other words, he was still in his Father's house. That's what the temple was to Christ. It was his Father's house. You recall when he first purged the temple? And he told them all, the traitors, to get out. Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house. Where were they? They were in the temple. Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. He was in his Father's house. And for Christ, his Father's house was home. That was his home. You know, the way you would say whenever you were going to your parents' house, you wouldn't say that. You used to say, I'm going to my Father's tonight. And that was understood. You're going to your Father's house. And here the Lord said, wist ye not that I must be in my Father's house? And the Father's house for Christ was the temple. In other words, the Lord was at home in the temple. That was his home, because that was his Father's house. So where did Christ begin? Where did Christ start doing his Father's business while it was in his Father's house? In other words, he began that business at home in his Father's house. Isn't that a good place to start? If you're going to serve the Lord and do a work for God, there's a good place to start is home. That's where the Lord started. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's house? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And he's beginning that business in his Father's house, in the temple. That's a good place to start. There's always work to do in the Lord's house. There's always things to be attended to in the Lord's house. And here the Lord Jesus was attending to his father's business in his Father's house. Spiritually speaking, this is our home. Our home church. We love being in the Lord's house. And there's always plenty of business to do in the Lord's house. That's where the Lord began. So we've seen where he started. Regarding his Father's business, we see also that he was sent. He told Mary, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That's an indication that he was sent to carry out the business his Father had given to him. Mary had referred to his earthly father, but Christ spoke about his heavenly Father. And how came he to be there? Why, his Father sent him. That's one of the facts we know. We're talking about the facts earlier on of Christ or about the Lord. We know the facts. And we know that he was sent. He was sent by his Father. The fact that he was sent was something that the Savior repeated over and over and over again. It was something that was always on his mind. As he carried out his Father's business, it was always on his mind that the Father had sent him to do that work. Carry out the business. In fact, I discovered that in John's Gospel alone, the Lord Jesus said that he was sent by the Father. He refers to being sent no less than 32 times in John's Gospel. Just as an example, I'm not going to look at all 32 references, but you turn to John 5. John chapter 5, in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life. Verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Same in verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, and that the Father hath sent me. And verse 37, and the Father himself which hath sent me. And there you have it, in one chapter alone. Four times in one chapter. And that's repeated throughout John's Gospel. So the Lord was very aware and very conscious that he was sent by the Father to do a work. He was sent on the Father's business. That's why the Lord said, I must. I must be about my Father's business, because my Father has sent me to carry out that business. I must. He would not be a disobedient son, nor a disobedient servant, if he was sent to engage himself in his Father's business. Then, as far as Christ was concerned, I must be about my Father's business. My Father has sent me to do this work. And the Lord set before us an example. An example we ought to follow. If the Lord gives us a work to do, we must do it. We must do it. It's a must. We don't want to be disobedient children. Lord, as he said to his disciples, so he says to us, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. John 20 and verse 21. And so the Lord Jesus told Joseph and Mary, and in answering Mary and her objection, the Lord said, I must be about my Father's business, because my Father has sent me to do this work. Regarding the Father's business, we have seen where he started and that he was sent. We see also that he came to serve. What the Lord came to do, he described it as his Father's business. That's how he described it. And no one was ever involved in a greater business than the business that the Lord Jesus Christ was given to do. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And regarding his service, the Lord's works, the Lord's word speaks to us of his industry. In other words, the Lord was an industrious individual. His word speaks to us of being busy. He was busy about his Father's work. He said, I must be about. I must be about my Father's business. He was never idle. Is that what was said about him? Acts 10, verse 38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. He went about doing good. The Lord said, I must be about my Father's business. That meant he was always first in the temple. Remember? We looked at that a few weeks ago. He was in the temple and the people came on to him early in the morning. He was the first in the temple. He was the last to retire at night. Sometimes he didn't even do that. John 8 verses 1 and 2 tells us he spent the whole night on the Mount of Olives in prayer. I must be about my Father's business. You think of his public ministry. He walked for miles and miles and miles. Miles from Galilee to Capernaum to Jerusalem. And we read in Luke 8 and verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went, listen, throughout every city and village, preaching of the kingdom of God. He went about every city and village. He was about his Father's business. Such was his industry. And being about his Father's business. And I'm going to tell you something that's recorded here. I'm not being flippant or irreverent. But there were those, because the Lord was so busy, they thought he was mad. Turn to Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 20. Mark 3 verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again. The multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. He was busy, busy, busy. And when his friends or kinsmen heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is beside himself. Mark those words. He is beside himself. Those words mean to be out of one's mind. That's what they said about the Lord Jesus. He is beside himself. The words mean for someone to be out of their mind. That's how they described the Lord Jesus. And being about his Father's business, he was busy. He was not idle. He was always active. And there the multitudes cometh together and came together unto him so that they could not so much as eat bread. He was so busy. They had no time to sit down and eat bread. And when his kinsfolk came upon him, they said, he is beside himself. He's out of his mind. What a terrible thing to say. Further evidence of his industry is found in Mark 4. Look at Mark 4. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, there we have it again. Multitudes were always around him. He was always ministering to multitudes. And when they sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. They took him even as he was. You know what those words mean? They refer to Christ being physically exhausted. And they had to help him into the ship. That's what it means. They took him even as he was. He was exhausted. And that is in keeping with what we read. And they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He was exhausted. They took him even as he was. They helped him into the ship. He was so tired and so exhausted. And there you have the proof of it. He lay in the ship, his head on a pillow, fast asleep, even though a raging storm was going on around him. Yet he was fast asleep. He was exhausted. The dear Savior was exhausted. Being about his Father's business. I like what George Whitefield said. Whitefield said, I would rather wear out than rust out. And Whitefield spent his days serving the Lord. He also said, about 1,000 lives to live, I would live them every one for Christ. That's how to live for the Lord. That's how to live for the Lord. Is it any wonder then, whenever they took him even as he was, they had to help him into the ship. He was exhausted, and there he fell asleep in the ship with the storm raging around him. If anyone said to the Lord, Master, you need to take it easy. Master, you need to slow up. I know what his response would be. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That's what his answer would be. Didn't he say in John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Press on. Regarding his service, you have his industry, and you have the importance. Whatever his Father wanted him to do, he of course viewed it as important, as being important. Therefore, he declared, I must be about my Father's business. And since he said, I must, that shows me nothing was going to stand in his way, carrying out his Father's business. That shows me that he was not going to be deterred in any way from doing his Father's business and the work he'd been sent to do. He had his departures during his ministry, remember? Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That would have been discouraging. But he still went about his Father's business. John 6:66. His Father's business was important. No discouragement would stop him. I must be about my Father's business. He had his distractors. Luke 11, verse 15. What did they say about him? His detractors said to him, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. His enemies said of him, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But his Father's business was too important for anything that any brat of hell said about him or said against him. He was going to do his Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. It's too important. He had disappointments, he had discouragements. He had the devils that warred against him. He had hell against him. But the business he was about was his father's business. And therefore, his battle cry was, I must be about my father's business. You think of that, we're so unlike the Lord. We get a discouragement, we're ready to give up. When things seem to be against us, ready to pack it in. Not the Lord. I must be about my father's business. You notice something else. In responding to Mary, he spoke about an individual. He didn't say, we must be about our father's business. No, he said, I must. In other words, the business the Father had given him to do, only he could do it. I must be about my Father's business. In John 17, verse 4, his great high priestly prayer, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Thou gavest me, I have finished it. And the great work his Father had given him to do was a work pertaining to redemption. And that was a work that no one else could do. No one else could do. No glorified saint, no angelic being, no seraphim, no cherubim could do the work the Father had sent his Son to do. No winged angel, no Michael, no Gabriel would be sent on such a mission. Only Christ could carry out that work. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I must go because no one else can do the work. Therefore, I must be about my Father's business. No, instead, the Savior made it clear. No, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Don't we have a wonderful Savior? He came to do the Father's business. And he says, I delight to do my Father's will. Who considered the complaint about the Master, the commission for the Master, and finally we have the completion by the Master. Since the Lord said, I must be about my Father's business, then we can be assured that the Lord would fulfill and complete the work he was given to do. The Lord Jesus would never leave anything half done. So when he said, I must be about my Father's business, that speaks to us of his desire. There is desire. There is dedication. There is devotion. In those words, there is a desire to indeed finish the work the Father had given him to do. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish the work. John 4 and verse 34. Wist ye not I must be about my Father's business? He had an end in view, a finished work. He was saying, I must be about my Father's business and I must finish it. I must finish it. His desire, his dependence, I must be about my Father's business. It would mean that his Father depended on him to finish the work. That's why he said, I must. The Father was depending on him. You can see that in John 5, verse 36. The Father was depending on His Son not only to do the business, but to finish the work. What was that work? It was to go to the cross, to die for sinners, not just for one soul. Can you think of the Savior had not finished the work? Countless millions would have perished in hell. Because it's only the finished work that saves the soul. And Christ said, I must be about my Father's business, and I must finish it. You have His desire, His dependence, He was depended on to finish the work. His declaration, John 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me today to do. And he was still, hadn't reached Calvary, but he was able to say, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. He's declaring, Father, it's as good as done. Is that what you like to hear from someone? You ask someone to do something and they say, brother, it's as good as done. You know that person's going to do it. You can depend upon them. And the Lord Jesus was saying to his Father, it's as good as done. I've finished the work thou gavest me to do. His desire, his dependence, his declaration, his death. To finish the work the Father gave him to do, Christ had to go all the way to Calvary to finish that work. Isn't that what he cried from the cross? It is finished. No, that's not exactly right. Those two words, it is, are not in the original. In other words, there from the cross, Christ simply cried, finished. He finished the business the Father had given him to do. And we're here today, and we're saved by grace, and we're going to heaven because Christ finished the work the Father gave him to do. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And he finished that business. Praise his holy name. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, dear loving Father, eternal God, we rejoice in the finished work of Christ. Nothing to be added to it. It's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. And we can say his banner over me is love, love. Lord, write this word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. Whatever the Lord gives us to do, may we do it with a heart and a half and be able to say, I have finished the work, as the Savior was able to say, it is done. Finished. Lord, bless the word to our hearts tonight. Be with us, Lord, as we leave the Lord's house. And, O Lord, may we know thy presence throughout this week. Keep thy hand upon us. Keep the plague from our dwellings. Bless our church family and our individual families. Keep thy hand upon us until we meet again next Sabbath. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.